ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of the week for you to download the Crazy Sheet. Put your earpods in. You go for a run, you go for a walk, or you just sit around and you want to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio. And Scotty, my friend, you are at home this evening. How the hell are you?
Man, I am good. Ready to get rolling. Another week. Last week was a little stinky on the cast, but man, I hung around and in-game bet some things. Took some crazy stuff we didn't talk about, and didn't have a terrible week. And I don't know how, because that had the makings of a disaster written all over it. But hung around and just battled. I felt like I was a total grinder. I was Kanish last week in Rounders. That's what I was. I feel like I should have been driving a truck this week.
Oh, Joey Kanish driving his paper route. That was an interesting week. Colorado obviously was the surprise of the weekend. Just I thought Duke played extremely well. There were some teams out there that I had power rated higher, and I probably, as I always do, make my biggest adjustments between week one and two, and then my next biggest adjustment will be next week. But there's going to be some good teams. I think Florida State legitimately is a national championship contender based on what we saw against LSU. And it wasn't just the score. The Coleman kid at FSU, goodness gracious, did he make a difference. And if you're paying Mel Tucker $9.5 million a year to watch
let that guy get away and not be able to get that guy the football, what in the hell's going on up there? The best thing I saw of the weekend was him pointing at the LSU DB and then pointing at his coaching staff like, this dude can't cover me. And boom, they go right at him. Hat tops him for a touchdown. That was the coolest thing I saw. It's like, dude, throw me the football. That was awesome. I mean, and then he didn't get up barking and talking a bunch of gibberish in the end zone. He just got up and was like, there you go. Just, you know, we own you. Yeah. They were really good in the second half. LSU should have had a significantly bigger lead than they did at halftime. That's what cost them the ball game. They wasted total opportunities. I'm not going to overthink LSU. That's still a talented football team. The one thing I will point out, I hate what they're doing, moving Perkins inside. They have taken a guy that was an elite pass rusher and just played with his hair on fire, and they're standing around spying the quarterback all weekend. He was non-existent on the field. They need to fix that shit tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with him as we move into the next few weeks. I thought that they were going to put him in and spy Jordan Travis, and they did. Now, they've said they're going to leave him at the mic, but because they did that, they got out schemed because they completely took him out of the game. They let Travis get back there. They've got skill position talent around that team. The offensive line's better at FSU. But I was impressed with their physicality. And that's the reason I think this team actually has a chance to play for the ACC championship and possibly on, because they were very physical, flipping around a couple of different ways. Pac-12 goes 13-0 to get the season started.
We thought Pac-12 was going to be good.
They're going to be really good. And I thought UCLA, after they moved to Dante Moore, looked strong. And I'll be surprised if he's not the starter this week. I'll be on UCLA if I can get some news that Dante Moore is the starter. He's a difference maker. He's a freshman. He had a freshman interception. But the offense looked good, out there. And so I was kind of encouraged by that.
Washington's legit.
I think Washington's really good. And I like my Pac-12 bet for them to win it. But I'll tell you the other thing. Ohio State may have an issue.
I think.
I was expecting Ohio State to just bully ball these guys, hit some big plays, and they never could get the offense rolling. And I honestly think it's got to be getting a little hotter around Ryan Day's house than it has been in years past. Because with Michigan playing with the free Harbaugh shirt, I love that, by the way.
Love that, by the way. Getting it going.
So, yeah, I think Michigan looked great. And obviously East Carolina's not that good, but I thought they looked as advertised. I thought Iowa looked really good, even though they didn't score 25 points to help Ferentz keep his job moving forward against Utah State. But that defense is still strong. And Wisconsin, to me, was a mixed bag. They never seemed to dominate that game the way that I felt like they should. And so the Big Ten is very interesting to me. Fucking James Franklin.
Scoring late, baby. Hey, look, you know he was watching the score. Oh, I love it. That was awesome.
There were several games like that.
I know it fried you, but I love it when coaches do that to, like, cover an over or, you know, whatever. They're, like, trying to get in late, cover the line. It was awesome.
Oh, man. I kind of wonder, too, with the running clock, if they're trying to just get more reps, but whatever. I couldn't believe that. I had the under. That game was sitting tits. I was good. It blows. I look – when I lost the bet, I was like, wait a minute, I won that game because I didn't see the final touchdown going. I changed the channel. And then the Texas Tech-Wyoming game, I was sitting on a dead under at that game, and Tech just decided that they would get very conservative in the second half and let Wyoming chip away, get back in the game, and eventually lose the game.
Yep.
Which, if you've got a Texas Tech over win total ticket, I don't know you're going to be able to get there now. If you've got a Colorado – over under win ticket like we talked about, I don't know that you're gonna get that done in TCU. So yeah, there's a couple of those.
I want to talk about four things about Deion real quick. I know he's been the talk of the country, and first, Hunter is legit. Imagine if that dude was on Florida State.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, because that's where he was committed when Deion got him to bail. Holy smokes, that guy's good. Did you see the video of him pregame? And the guys are like, you're overrated. They're cussing him and all that. And then he gets the pick down on that end zone and turns around like, who said it? Who said it? Their faces are like, man, dang. You know, I mean, he just turned around and started barking at him. I thought it was awesome. You're going to trash talk kids when they fire right back at you. Good for them. I thought that was awesome. I'm not totally right. One other thing on Deion. There, at some point, you got to start saying that the dude really can coach, that it's not just all hype wagon. I have no problem with him saying what he said about hauling the roster. Because look, there's a lot of guys that turn over rosters. And, you know, it ain't just Deion, especially new guys. I mean, you'll see teams with 50 and 60 new guys. And that's what Deion did. I don't have a problem with anything he does. I mean this. I like what he's telling those kids from a coaching standpoint. Like when you see the videos of him talking to the kids and stuff like that, I like what he's saying. So I'm impressed. They're significantly better than I thought they would be. They may not win another game, and I still think they're better than I thought they would be. His son did a really good job. Man, he can move around.
Yeah.
And he was just off on two more touchdown passes, and that game's not close. You know? So it was – I thought Colorado looked great. Nebraska inventing ways to lose. They play Colorado this year, so we'll talk about it. How in the hell did they lose that game?
I have no idea.
Holy smoke. I mean, it was colossal blunder after blunder. And you're just like, man, this is all that pick before halftime, which ultimately ended up being the difference in the game.
Yeah.
I mean this. If our seventh grade quarterback does that tonight, I'm going to be like, what are you thinking? I mean, how did you not see that guy and just throw it right to him? Like, he wasn't going to drop back on that ball. I mean, that was a bad read, bad decision. Man, don't throw a ball like that. Take the field goal and live to fight another day. Throw that thing in the stands if you don't have anybody open. It's just poor quarterback play, and that ended up being the game. Everybody talks about fumbles, and look, that fumble was gigantic. They made some huge mistakes late in the fourth quarter. Another pick that obviously ultimately lost them the game. Nebraska lost the game right before halftime. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it was Minnesota was underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
Yeah. And they were talked about they were going to throw the ball more with Kaliak Manis. Boy, that name is fun to say. But they just couldn't get anything going. And you're right with Nebraska. That was the one reason I didn't like Nebraska to bet that game at +7 is Jeff Sims was great at Georgia Tech, but couldn't – I just was like, man, Georgia Tech was terrible when he was there. And He didn't look great. And so this week will be interesting. Had Nebraska won that game and Colorado did what they did last week, without a doubt in my mind, not only that, I think that the Big Ten or the Big Noon kickoff would be up there, and it would be bananas in that play. It's going to be nuts in Boulder come Saturday for this game. And I don't know what Nebraska
– keep up Colorado, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, and Nebraska just cannot move the ball. And so I it's going to be interesting to see where things go. Anything else from last week as takeaways?
No, I think some of the teams in the SEC, I think this is the first time. I do want to point out South Carolina's got major problems.
Yeah.
On the offensive line, they can't do. You can't. How in the hell do you give up 9 sacks in a game? I mean, that's just. I don't care if they brought, if North Carolina bought Lawrence Taylor back. I mean, dude, you cannot give up 9 sacks in a game. That's awful. I did think the Carolina defense looked a lot better. Thought they had made some really good improvements. I hate Mississippi State's schedule for where they play teams. We got LSU next week after this game. But, boy, both those teams look suspect. And if you're going to catch them, now them and South Carolina, they play back-to-back, one at home, then at South Carolina. If you want to play them, you better be glad it's now, because they got a lot of things they got to fix. I think they will, especially think LSU will. But, man, they got a long way. They both got a long way to go, because that Florida State defense bullied them in the second half.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Scotty, last week 4-5. That brings us to 6-8 below the Mendoza line as we get started this week. I think we got a good week coming up. We got one data point, 2 data points for a couple of teams here, but I feel a little bit more confident in what I'm going here, been able to adjust some numbers, and I look forward to weeks and weeks of this coming out. Remember, don't, like we said, be careful with your bankroll. Get started early. You don't want to blow it all in week one. I pushed around a little money, lost a couple hundred bucks, which is fine. That's kind of my cost for playing. Scotty, first game I want to go to is a team from your home state. Just north of your hometown in Starkville, Mississippi. Let's talk about the Ole Miss Rebels. We'll be traveling down to New Orleans this weekend to play Tulane at their home stadium. I like their home stadium. I'm glad they're not doing something stupid and playing this in the Superdome. But they'll have a good Ole Miss fan base that'll show up there.
No doubt.
But at the same time, Tulane's drawing now that they've done what they've done. Tulane getting 7 points. Over-under here is 67. Tulane scored 37 points, gave up 17 last week to South Alabama. Finished that game with a +2 in the turnover margin. Rushed for 142 yards, threw for 300. Ole Miss on the flip side scored 73 points last week, gave up 7. They're 1-0 straight up, and they were +2 in the turnover margin last week. They also rushed for 143 yards, but they threw the rock for a small 524 yards against an FCS opponent in this one. This is an interesting matchup. Ole Miss, Tulane, you got the Lane Train and Willie Fritz. How are we playing this one?
I like the Rebels. It's just the bottom line. I don't think it's enough points. Obviously, we bet against Tulane last week, lost. South Alabama turning the ball over, losing the turnover battle was the difference in that ball game. I think Ole Miss is just too talented for these guys. They are not going to be held. Tulane did what they were able to do last week because South Alabama couldn't run the football. And they're not. I don't think there's any chance they're going to be able to keep Ole Miss from running the football. Those quarterback keeps, I've said this a bunch, Spencer Sanders, I mean, what in the world was he thinking? The only way Ole Miss doesn't cover this game is if Kiffin gets the switching quarterback. But it was dark last week until the ball game was out. And he certainly hadn't done anything to lose it. I think at some point there's going to be a quarterback controversy up there, but I don't think it's Saturday. I think the Rebels got too much talent. Defense is good enough for them to cover this number. I think it's also fairly high scoring. But I think the Rebels covered the 7.
I'm with you on this one. I think Ole Miss is a better team than a lot of people thought coming into the season. I think Lane does a really good job. I think he's one of the better. I think he's one of the top 20 coaches in the country, especially from an offensive mind. And their defense has stepped up. We've played a ton of Ole Miss unders over the last couple of years here. I think this may be where the balloon finally pops for Tulane, and they come in here and take care of business and get this one done. So I will ride with you with the Ole Miss Rebels -7. Next one I want to go to, Scotty, on your rotation sheet, this is game 333. Texas A&M, University of Miami at Florida. Line opened up around 3, bumped all the way up to Miami getting 4.5 points at home. Over-under here is 51. Both of these teams are coming into the season with new offensive coordinators. The big question last week was if A&M was going to let Bobby Petrino run the offense or if Jimbo Fisher was going to control him and keep him bottled up. We were on A&M first half in that one. It was obvious that if you watch the game, Bobby Petrino is calling the offense. I'm not saying Jimbo doesn't have some override there, but they looked good. Connor Wegman and the boys put it to them. A&M went out and took care of business. Defensively, they did what they were supposed to do. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but last season, this defense even struggled to slow down the run. And so I was impressed that they just came out, played ball, didn't overlook this opponent like they did a lot last year. As they go into this rematch from this game last season, this was a low-scoring affair last year, but both these teams scored last week. Miami scored 38 and gave up 3. Texas A&M scored 52, gave up 10. Both of these teams are +1 in the turnover margin. I'll tell you where I'm going with this one. I'm going over 51 points. I think points are going to be a premium in this spot, and you're going to see, I think, more of them. I also think A&M wins and covers this game. I won't be surprised if you don't see some systems launch out this play later in the week and we don't see this number go up. I think A&M knows they're going to have to score points to win, and I think they're going to dominate this Miami team. This is a good Texas A&M team. We've got them taking them on the over at 7.5. I like Texas A&M in this one to go over 51 as the total. I do think they'll give some points up, but I look for this Aggie offense to be pretty high-flying in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you on this. I just think both these teams are playing a little faster than before. I think also some of these numbers are still low in that everybody's expecting a lot less plays. Saw a stat this week that has not borne out. Saw a couple of head-to-head matchups that were repeated from the year before. Play totals were 1 different, 2 different. That's just not enough to make a difference in the ball game. I think a lot of these teams run fast, trying to catch guys off guard. Certainly what Petrino wants to do. If he thinks he catches Miami sleeping or soft or tired, man, he's going fast. So I just don't think that really matters here. This is a must win for the Southeastern Conference in my mind. And I think it is for Bama too. I think those are 2 big games that the SEC needs to win after the drubbings the ACC put on them. And because I will tell you, I think another one's in danger of losing on the West Coast this week. So I think this is actually a pretty big game for the SEC, same thing with Bama. So anyway, that's one of the reasons I think they come out and they play well. But I do think it's going to be a really good game to watch. Hell of a lot better than last year. I think it's going to be a lot more exciting.
Next one I want to go to, Scott A. Let's go to the game everybody's going to be talking about. The most bet game of the week is what I've got to think it's going to be. Game 318 on your rotation sheet. Colorado coming home, hosting the Nebraska Men of Corn. Colorado's laying 3. This is a big line move. Nebraska was favored in this going into the season. Just 2 weeks ago, they were -1.5, -2. Over-under is at 59. Nebraska with that offensive power play against Minnesota scored 10 points. They gave up 13. They were -3 in the turnover margin. We all saw what Colorado did, 45-42. They were +1 in the turnover margin. I like Colorado here. I think you're going to have to bet them until you get bucked off the train, which may be in 2 more weeks, because I don't know if the books are going to be able to adjust to them. I think they're going to give up some points. But they've got explosive plays all over this offense, and I think they're going to keep getting better. And Nebraska, to me, has not shown me that they can play bully ball yet, much less that they have any explosion. So I would lean Colorado -3. What say you?
I don't think they've got enough firepower to keep up with Colorado. That Colorado defense still leaves a lot to be desired, but, man, Hunter can make plays. And I find it difficult to believe that Deion's not going to find their best playmaker. He's going to bait Sims into a bad throw and get a pick. You can feel it. I mean, just in my opinion, that's what's going to happen. But I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with them. And man, they spread you out, move around. That Kent State offense moved around a ton and was able to score points even when they played good teams. I mean, go back to Georgia last year. They scored good points, completely outmanned. Sanders is really mobile in the pocket. There was one play mark he made, and he rolls out to a great scramble. There aren't 5 quarterbacks in the country that get that ball off at all. And then he creates just enough space to fire a dart for a first down. And he got hit in the grill as soon as he hit through it and popped right up and was ready to roll. He's got a toughness too that I like. I mean, you see a quarterback bang around like that, get hit, pop right back up, and just ready to go right back down the field. It affects the team. They play hard. And the offensive linemen, get a little bit more pep in their step when they got a guy back there like that. So I like Colorado. I can't say how impressed I am. I don't want to overdo week one. This is more about how poorly Nebraska played and looked. And I understand the defense and that was a road game, but this is too. And at the end of the day, I like Colorado here.
Ooh, getting interesting. Scotty, let's move to the SEC, game 346. Arkansas will be at home this week as they host Kent State. Kent State is one of the worst teams in the country, and I don't know that you can set a line high enough to get away from this. This was a team that was dominated in week one against UCF. UCF ran with tempo. Gus Bus was still chunking it way deep in this game. But with this Arkansas team, I think they're going to dominate them. We're going to play it the same way we did last week at the A&M game. We're going to go over in the first half. We're going to take the team total. We're going to take minus the points, which we look for that to come in around 23.5, over-under to be 32.5, and I think their team total will probably come in around 28. If I can get a flat 28, I'll play that as well. This Arkansas team, they do lose their offensive coordinator, but they don't lose much else in that offensive set. I think they can bully this Kent State team as much as they want to, and Kent State is not going to be able to move the ball in this Arkansas defense. Arkansas played an FCS team last week. They gave up 13 points in garbage time, but they were also +5 in the turnover margin. Kent State gave up 56 points to UCF, and they were +2 in the turnover margin in that game. This is a bad football team. They returned one starter from last season, all new coaching staff. I don't like anything about what you're going to get here. I'm going to fade this team most of the season. I'm taking Arkansas first half and team total to cover in this one.
You won't find many guys that KJ Jefferson can't throw the football better than, but John Rhys Plumlee's one of them. And Kent State gave up 389 yards on the ground. Do you realize what KJ Jefferson, Rocket Sanders are going to do to that defense? I mean, it's just how long do they want to play him and how many reps do they want to give him? I mean, that really is the difference. They gave up 334 yards passing. They're going to force this Kent State team to walk up to the line, which plays right into Jefferson's hand, and boom, he hits a long pass play for touchdowns. It's pretty easy to see what's coming, but Sanders is going to have a field day. That guy's gotten faster, and as big and as physical as that kid is running the football, I think Arkansas puts wood to these guys, as y'all can tell from us betting it multiple ways.
Oh, I like that one a lot. Scotty, let's go out west here for a rematch game. Wazoo will be at home playing Wisconsin this week. On your rotation sheet, this is game 326. Let me pull it up real quick. Bingo. Washington State's getting 6.5. Over-under here is 58.5. Wisconsin scored 38 with their opener from Luke Fickell and Phil Longo. They gave up 17 in that one. They were -2 in the turnover chain. Washington State scored 50 points, gave up 24, and they were -1 in the turnover battle in this as well. Wisconsin, to me, I was underwhelmed at best. I'm expecting this team to run the rock and take some big shots. Chez Malusi broke off, I think, a 72, 80-yard touchdown run to bump this one up. Otherwise, this was in a 14-point window there, and I really thought Wisconsin was going to punk a team from Buffalo that I don't believe is going to be very good this season. And they really never could quite just stretch this one out. This was a game last year that Washington State came to Madison and won in a lower-scoring affair. But I think this year Washington State, they're not scared to get in a shootout. They're actually more physical this year than they were last year. Give me Washington State +6.5. Probably going to hold out and see if I can get a 7 come game time. But I like Wazoo in this one.
The home dog and the points is a theme for me this week. I know it's early, but I agree with you. I like Wazoo. This is as much about Wazoo to me as not. I actually expected Whiskey with that big of a change to kind of look like they did on offense. I expect Longo to keep getting better every week, them to kind of get adjusted to that system. But I just like this Wazoo team. I think they're better than I was expecting. I thought they looked pretty good. So I like Wazoo here. I like them at home. I like the points. Tough place to go. So let's give me some wazoo at home.
It is hard to get to Pullman if you've never been there before. Next one I want to go to, let's go to a rematch from last year again. Game 364 on your rotation sheet. This is an interesting one. North Carolina is laying somewhere between 17 and 18 against an Appalachian State team. North Carolina is coming off of that big win over South Carolina. Appy State had a pretty big win last week as well. Moving into this one, over-under here is at 58. North Carolina's laying 18. Both these teams won in the turnover battle last week. Appy State was plus 3. North Carolina was plus 2. Do we think Appy State can pull the upset or play in this game 2 years in a row?
No. I think they are absolutely going to get drubbed. In honor of Jimmy Buffett and his song Boat Drinks, I think you are going to get boat raced this week is what's going to happen to Appy State. I think last week's bad for them. I think it's a better football team. Like Drake May, thought he played pretty well. Probably couldn't run the football a little better than they did last week, but I don't really think it matters. I thought he looked good. I just don't think this Appy State team's very good. That's why I like this number. I think this team's going to struggle. I think we are two seasons away from a likely coaching change in Boone is what I think.
Ooh, interesting. I think you're going to get a big showing from NC State. I mean, from NC last year after they laid an egg in this one. I thought Chiz did a good job with the defense last week. I was firmly impressed. I mean, we were on South Carolina. This is not an overreaction type play. I've had this game slotted at a 17-point power rating since before we went into the season, so it's kind of right around in there now. I don't like the fact that it creeped up to 18, but I would buy it almost all the way to 20. I think they're going to cause a lot of problems for the Appalachian State offense, and I do think Drake May is going to be able to pick them apart. So I'm with you on this one. Last one, Scotty. Let's go to Waco, Texas. Utah traveling down to play the Baylor Bears. This is game 319 on your rotation sheet. It's going to be 11 o'clock central kickoff, which I kept hearing about the heat and all that bullshit last week. I didn't see anybody get affected by it. Now, Coleman for Florida State did come off right before halftime and looked like he needed to shit his pants, but I'm pretty sure he had some calf cramps in that one. But everybody else, I didn't see the heat play an issue to it, so I'm not really worried about Utah on this one. Utah laying 7.5 on the road. I would buy this one down to 7 if you can. Over-under here is 47. Utah scored 24 points last week, gave up 11. They were plus 1 in the turnover battle. Baylor scored 31, gave up 42 to Texas State, and they were dead even in the turnover battle in that one there. Here's where I'm going with this one. Baylor has now lost 5 games in a row, and they have played 2 teams in that run that were physical on the trench, Kansas State and Texas. Both of those games, they were dominated. Sawyer Robertson's most likely going to start at quarterback for Baylor here. Utah is still flirting with the idea that Cam Rising may play. If he does, great. I don't think he will. But the backups played fine against Florida. And, again, they've got the reps because they've been practicing together all summer, all through camp. Where I'm going in this one is it's just going to be a physical affair, and I think Utah is going to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You're going to get some D linemen back that didn't play against Florida last week and a linebacker. Baylor, on the other hand, is going to struggle to move the rock in this situation. The skill position talent, I've downgraded Baylor from last year. I've got this as a 4-win team. I like Utah. I would buy it to a flat 7, but I think Utah should handle their business in this one.
I agree with you here. I think a couple of things about Utah. The extended time to get ready for this ball game, I think, is extremely important for those guys. I think, secondly, I think that I like their change of pace at quarterback, what they were doing against Florida. And, man, you talk about putting it on cruise control.
Yeah.
We don't have any idea what Utah could do. They knew Florida couldn't score on them.
Yeah.
They scored 3 touchdowns. Man, they were done. I mean, they were just on full cruise control. It was like a practice. I mean, you could have literally been in the huddle listening to the play calls, and you wouldn't have learned anything about what that football team can really do. They dominated it so clearly. It didn't have to do much to do it. I mean, you look at them statistically and you think, man, this is an easy cover for Baylor. But I watched that ball game. I saw what they were doing. And I think they're completely going to come down here and blow their wig back with a first-time starter in Sawyer Robertson, who candidly I don't think is quite ready to play, having left Mississippi State. I don't think anybody thought that he was ready to play. Candidly, I think he was the backup to the kid who transferred to Wisconsin when Leach died. So I think at the end of the day, you got a young quarterback against a really solid, hard-hitting defensive football team. I think that creates problems. You know, I think it's supposed to cool off between now and the weekend before the ball games. So at the end of the day, and the altitude, them coming down from altitude is going to, I think, negate a lot of whatever heat advantage there would be. They're going to gain from a cardiovascular standpoint. So I like Utah here just because I think they're the better football team. I think they're more than 8 points better than this football team.
I like it. Scotty, that is the board officially that we've got. I'll throw a couple other plays that I've got at you. I like the Cal-Auburn over. Over at 51, I feel like that number is kind of light. Cal played with a lot of tempo against North Texas. I could see this game going over the total.
I got three home dogs. Well, excuse me, two home dogs I like and one dog I like. I think UConn is going to win at Georgia State, straight up. That team's better than I thought they were. I was completely unimpressed with the offensive, especially the play call. I was stunned how bad the play calling was
for NC State?
North Carolina State.
Did you feel like they just leaned on Brandon Armstrong the whole game?
It was brutal. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. But I think a lot of it had to do with UConn defensively up front. I think they were struggling with them.
They couldn't get any push.
And at the end of the day, they said all offseason, strength of this team is the offensive and defensive lines. And while they lost on a talent standpoint to NC State, I don't disagree. I thought they held their own very, very well with a Power 5 team at the line of scrimmage. I mean, broke off a 70-yard run to get that game really close, like, which was the difference in us covering and not. I think that was a really, really big play. I liked them to win straight up. I think Tech bounces back. I said this preseason, every Tech fan that I know, including you and your wife, are going to Lubbock this weekend. I mean, I truly don't know anyone who's not. And it is amazing how rowdy I think that place is going to be. That place can get loud. I think we have all seen Bo Nix struggle on the road. I know he's a better player, but we have seen it repeatedly. I think this game gets close. I think they could be a dog, but of these three games, they're actually the team I like the least to win it. So if you're looking for something, I would probably take the points here unless you just want to take a flyer on a big underdog parlay. And then the last one is Cal and Auburn. While Auburn looked good last week, I think Hugh Freeze is a great coach. I think he's going to do a great job. Just look at his recruiting. He is mopping up. They are not going to be at a talent disadvantage to Georgia and Bama for long. I think that he is doing a phenomenal job out there. I think he's a good football coach. But I like what Cal's doing playing faster. I thought they looked really good against North Texas. Went back and watched that game. Really impressed there. Thought they did a really nice job. I think that team's better. Wilcox has always had them playing decent defensively. And really what it is for me is I question this long trip going on the road this early with a new staff and a ton of new talent coming into Auburn. I just question is, are they going to be able to get it done? And can that defense hold up? I like Cal as an underdog in this ball game. So I'm going to drop me a Tech, Cal, UConn, and a Cal, UConn underdog play just for fun. Underdog games I like. So just everyone FYI.
I am not against that. I'm waiting on a couple of things. I like UCLA, especially once if I can get somewhere that they clarify that they announced Dante Moore at quarterback. I would buy that game up to 17 against San Diego State. San Diego State is broken. Their offense, their quarterback is a former safety that's playing quarterback for them, and they're just not that good. And they've relied on the defense for these last couple of years. I can't get there with it, so I would take UCLA in that one. Another game I like FAU at home laying points against Ohio. They think Rourke's going to play, so they've announced, but this line's been -3 to kind of 3.5. I think Florida Atlantic's got a good roster. They upgraded a lot. They brought a lot of folks in from the portal here. Tom Herman is a G5 dominating force when it comes to offense. In Ohio, they're 1-1 straight up, but they're 0-2 against the number. Rourke didn't play last week, and I could see Albin's holding Rourke out one more week as you start getting ready for conference play, because these games don't matter shit to them. It's all about trying to win the MAC, and I don't know why you would risk him getting hurt in this one. I kind of like that one a little bit that's there. I want to bet JMU against Virginia, but I can't touch that at six. It is gross to me. What's your opinion on Texas and Alabama? Do you have one?
I do. I don't know if it is gut, because I don't know that it certainly ain't watching Texas last week. But man, Ewers was playing so well in that game. That early in that ball game, it's hard for me to believe that's not going to be a close football game. I believe that this game is going to be close, so I would take Texas in the points. The other game I like Thursday night. I like the Jayhawks hosting Illinois. Man, I barely missed on my upset for Illinois. I knew that Toledo was going to give them all they wanted. I think it's the same thing's going to happen this week. I just think Kansas is able to close the deal at home. So I think that's where I think that's where I like this ball game on Friday night. Yeah. So short week for both these teams. Illinois had a more physical football game. I just think the back end of that Illinois defense is lacking. I really do. And it's never – Bielema's never had an explosive offense. I just don't think they're going to be able to score enough points to stay within this number.
And, you know, and last week Daniels didn't even play the quarterback at Kansas. Right. But, I mean, Bean played a lot last year. I like you. I would lay Kansas minus three. I'll make that a play if you want to play it, because Illinois loses their defensive coordinator. Then they lose three guys in the defensive backfield that were top 66 picks, and one of them was a top five pick. And that's
now,
not
look, they got an All-American defensive end. They still got some talent on that defense. It's just, man, you can throw the football on this team. Yeah. And – you just don't look – Illinois is a lot like Mississippi State in ways. When you lose superstar guys, really hard to replace them. Right. And while I like Mississippi State's DB, there's no Emmanuel Forbes over there. I mean, that's just a bias. And they've lost back-to-back years, Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes. They lost two legit NFL cornerbacks, because Emerson's great for the Browns. So, I mean, it's a – they lost – you don't replace those guys. I mean, that's just the bottom line. They're not Bama. They're not Georgia. They can't bring those guys and just lob in another All-American. And I think that's where the difference of this football team is. So that's my picks. That's everything I got.
That's everything I've got. Scotty, it's going to be a good week. Hit us up on Twitter. Give us some reviews. Give us some ratings. If you're new to the show, we're glad you're here. I probably should have done that at the beginning. But I get so damn excited. I just want to talk about football. I can't do it. Anyway, folks, have a good week. Travel safe if you're heading to the games. Have a few cocktails. Enjoy some family, some friends. Give somebody a hug. And by God, let's hope we win some money. And we'll talk to y'all next week.